The secret to well-being is discovering the power that is your birthright. The power to create a happier, healthier life drawn from our own vast internal resources. Join Jules and her guests as they gently guide you to shift your perspective from the familiar negative to the divinely connected. A place that will not only positively impact your world, but possibly shift the planet. It's all right here on Law of Attraction Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm Jules from beautiful Southern California. I sincerely thank you for wanting to learn more about our human experience on this planet. If you are like me, I was attracted to the Law of Attraction because I was seeking answers to what seemed like the easiest questions. Like, why is my life not working? And it took me many years to reach the point of acknowledging that my life was broken and that I had to do something about it. That's why I am thrilled to report that a majority of our listeners are now younger than ever, getting the answers at a much earlier age. This is very exciting and holds great promise for the future. And I've also noticed a shift of listeners because before it used to be primarily women in their late 40s to 50, 60, even 70. But now the ratio has changed to be more evenly divided between men and women. Isn't that amazing? After 8 years talking every week on the Law of Attraction, I'm really seeing a great shift occurring and I'm seeing a great awakening. Well, although we are extremely spiritual here on Law of Attraction Radio Network, I think we are taking the content to a place where science can prove spiritual theories. It's taking the guesswork out of everything, and it makes life a little bit easier. We are not about religion. We are about the human experience, in which people can thrive exponentially by virtue of their own powerful, brilliant mind. Today we are able to prove scientific studies that our connection to spiritual living is actually through our pineal gland that is in the very center of our brains. When this gland is corroded by fluoride or bromide or whatever, calcification occurs and blocks the extrasensory perceptions from occurring. Now, ESP is just not about reading other people's minds. It's about getting great insight from your inner guidance system. The pineal gland is like our antenna to the entire universe. We can literally tap into the consciousness and know what is going on intellectually, even without listening to the media. So when the pineal gland is calcified, it clogs up our ability to tap into our internal powers, which affects our ability to make proper decisions. Let me just say that a sure sign that your pineal gland is blocked is by your inability to sleep at night, because the pineal gland produces melatonin, which promotes a healthy and deep sleep in which your body is able to rejuvenate every single night. If you're not sleeping well, you may want to do some research on how you can decalcify your pineal gland. It's far easier than you think. And it's so necessary, especially for Law of Attraction practitioners. Now, it's completely understandable that the body is considered to be a temple, because when you tap into the consciousness through the pineal gland, you are then able to feel the emotions of consciousness through the heart's brain, the heart's intelligence. And when the heart is clogged, well, the same thing happens. A vital connection to the emotions or feelings of mass consciousness cannot be accessed to the fullest. A short while ago, I had cardiologist Cynthia Thack with us talking about why heart health is so vital to your connection to the world. If your heart is blocked physically, so is your ability to feel what is happening in the world through the consciousness and through the heart's brain. Your emotions get stuck in a perpetual circle and you can't move forward. Louise Hay noted in her book, Heal Your Body, that heart attacks occur when there is no joy in life. And this stands to reason. When it can't join forces with the pineal gland, or vice versa for that matter, the mind-body connection is thwarted. It's not going forward. The mind-body connection is not only the connection for yourself, your health, and the emotional well-being, it's your connection to the cosmos. Consciousness with a big capital C. So tonight we have Howard Martin bringing us great information about the Global Coherence Initiative, which is part of HeartMath Institute, the nonprofit arm of HeartMath, where they use scientific data to measure results of heart's coherence collectively throughout the world. It's absolutely brilliant, and it's so necessary for me to bring Howard back in this particular time in history when there seems to be so much chaos going on. And we'll be able to figure out what we need to do when we are in that space where we can effectively apply our consciousness to join others with the same intention. As Gandhi stated, you must be the change you wish to see in the world. Well, you can't have a peaceful world unless you are at peace as well. Currently, I believe the world is living in fear by virtue of what's happening right now and all the chaos. And the only way to counteract that destructive fear is by moving into love. I am hoping all of you who listen tonight will join the Global Coherence Initiative, which is free, by the way, and take part in transforming the planet through this very real and very powerful emotion called love. Again, we Law of Attraction practitioners understand that if you are ruled by fear, you can only live in fear. If you are to thrive individually, you must rid yourself of the fear that binds you into misery. Greg Braden talks a great deal about this. He stated that our DNA has 64 possible codes of amino acids made up of four elements. We have only 20 of them active, but we have switches that turn our codes on and off. Scientists have been able to measure the vibrational patterns of love and fear. Those are the two dominant emotions that a human can put out. All the other emotions are simply derivatives of love and fear. The vibrational pattern of love has a very large wave and a very fast frequency, meaning that if you saw it on a wave screen, they would be very close together. The energy or emotion of fear has a very shallow wave pattern and large loops, which means they would be seen as being far apart. The switches in our DNA are turned on, and the possibilities that we can create become amplified and much greater when we remain in the state of love. This is one of the first scientific discoveries that support evidence that our lives and our bodies are created from emotions that we have now. Wow. You see, this is incredible stuff. No wonder Greg Braden is on the advisory board of HeartMath. This just ties in perfectly. So let's take this a step further. If we can remain in that state of love collectively for a short period of time together, we may be able to influence the release of the dominating fear to merge into love globally. And that's where HeartMath comes in. And we'll be talking about that in just a moment. But amazingly, the majority of people today are waking up to the fact that we are all connected. Now, how can I prove that? If you look at what happened just during the last week, when there were demonstrations taking place literally around the world in every major city of the world, people are standing up because they can actually feel the atrocities coming closer to them. It feels as if it could happen to them, and they are connecting to those atrocities. Even more important, notice how people have released their fear by standing up and attending a rally and saying no more. Don't you know how much courage that takes? It takes a lot. And that's what's so amazing. They are releasing their fear to take a stand to say no more. And it's not just happening in a few places. It's happening all over. It's amazing. When an individual releases that fear, that's when the feeling of connection or community can take place. That's what the emotion of love is all about. So here's the fear emotion: lack, isolation, despair, and then horrendous anger that is backed by action. And here's the other side, which is the love emotion, which is calm, peaceful, nurturing, feelings of abundance, joy, beauty, and a sense of connection to everything around. So now I've just reminded you about your pineal gland connection to the well-functioning brain of the heart. We are exploring tonight the third most critical part of the equation, the heart's coherence, which beams love out to anywhere you set your intention. So sit back, relax, tune in as we get some great inspiration and level-headedness about our current world affairs by Howard Martin. We'll be right back after these words.
Join us for Law of Attraction Radio Network's incredible Field of Abundance event, The Science Behind the Law of Attraction, featuring a three-hour workshop with success expert Jack Canfield, along with Howard Martin of HeartMath, cardiologist Dr. Cynthia Thike, best-selling author Dr. David Che, psychotherapist Dr. Amelia Kemp, Doctor of Philosophy Jim Alvino, international humanitarian Parisha Taylor, and Jules Johnson, as we validate the law of attraction through science with proven tips, techniques, and applications for every area of your life. October 17th, 18th, and 19th at the Queen Mary Ship Hotel in beautiful Long Beach, California. Go to loaevent.com and purchase your ticket today before it sells out. That's loaevent.com.
Okay, we are back. Now, Dr. Cynthia Thack, who I just mentioned before the commercial, is speaking at our upcoming event right after Jack Canfield. As a matter of fact, she's going to be talking to you about your heart and why heart health is so incredibly important to creating what it is that you're seeking, be it success, money, love, or health. If it's broke like the pineal gland, the only thing you can do is to fix it. And she's got some really easy and powerful methods to increase your heart to its vibrant level. And don't forget, Howard Martin of HeartMath is going to be with us on Sunday. And he's absolutely going to knock your socks off like he did in Palm Springs. And also, don't forget to book your hotel room as soon as possible. If you are coming all the way out here, you're going to want to stay at the beautiful Queen Mary. It's so wonderful and so magical. So go to loaevent.com and get your ticket and hotel room today. Don't wait. I'm telling you, because this will be a sold out event. I'm so excited about it. Now let's bring on Howard Martin. Howard really needs no introduction because over the years, Howard has been one of my favorite guests. And I was fortunate to get to know him even on a personal level during our Palm Springs event last April. Howard Martin is one of the original leaders who helped Doc Childer found HeartMath. In 1999, he co-authored with Doc Childer the HeartMath Solution Book. And he has been with HeartMath's worldwide training and consulting team since its inception in 1999. Welcome back, Howard, to Law of Attraction Talk Radio.
Jules, glad to be with you again. Always a pleasure. I hope you're doing well. And everyone who's listening to the show, wherever you are around the world, greetings to you.
Howard, I wanted to bring you on because I want to talk about specifically the Global Coherence Initiative that is brought through HeartMath, and especially because it appears that the world is in a state of chaos. And I want to make sure that people know that they can make a difference energetically and consciously through the Global Coherence Initiative. So perhaps you could start us off with what exactly is it?
Well, as you know, HeartMath, we've been doing work in the world now for almost 24 years mm-hmm. in a variety of different ways, really trying to create a more heart-connected world. And we've developed our system of tools and methods and techniques and technology all underpinned with scientific research and implemented in a variety of ways in a variety of societal contexts. And it's really been an amazing journey for me to see how much it's grown and how many people around the world know of HeartMath and how HeartMath has benefited the lives of so many people. About 5 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago actually now, we started something called the Global Coherence Initiative, which is a part of our nonprofit, the Institute of HeartMath. And what we were doing, Jules, is we wanted to take a look at how we could use the collective power of our hearts on a global level to influence the consciousness field that we all live in and all draw reality from, in order to help shift that consciousness in ways that would promote more harmony and enduring peace, sort of usher in sort of the new thinking and the new feeling and the new living that many people are aspiring to have today. And so we started it back then, and today we have about, I think 60, 65,000 members. They come from over 100 countries around the world, and it's been a really wonderful project. Now, one of the keys to this, though, and let me first step back and say that there are many organizations who are doing something similar, especially now that we have the online capabilities that we have. So it's bringing people together, and they're using the power of their intention and the power of their collective, thoughts and feelings to try to make a difference in the world. And I applaud all the organizations that are doing that. It's all helping. It's all very important. I think the little difference that we bring to the party, so to speak, is that we brought our science along with us. Mm. And our scientists, in working in conjunction with other scientists and researchers, developed a technology that can measure in very sensitive ways changes that occur in the Earth's energetic fields. The Earth produces energetic fields. They're part of our Earth as a living system. Think of them sort of like energetic ecology. Mm-hmm. And there are two primary fields. One's the geomagnetic field. And that's a field that's created by the spinning of the iron core at the center of the Earth. It's the field that a compass measures. That's the geomagnetic field. It constantly fluctuates and changes, and the researchers have studied it. They know a lot about it, but there's a lot of things they don't know about it. But they know that many things influence it, and things like solar radiation, changes in solar activity, are major influences on the geomagnetic field. There's also another field that responds to all these types of influences that works in conjunction with the geomagnetic field. And that field is called the ionosphere. The ionosphere is less dense than the geomagnetic field. It starts about just above our atmosphere, and it goes up into space about, I think, something like around 120 miles. And those two fields, what they do is they provide this protective layer around the Earth that protects us from solar radiation, cosmic rays, solar winds, all those kind of things. And without these fields, life as we know it today cannot exist. So they're very, very important. Now, these fields, as I mentioned, they fluctuate and change all the time, and there are many things influencing them. there's been a lot of research done already and more that's going on now that's showing that changes in these fields, in fact, affect us individually and collectively. You know, they affect human health and behavior on an individual and collective basis. And there's been a lot of wonderful research that's been produced around that, showing correlations to all kinds of things in relationship to changes in these fields. So what our researchers have done, as I mentioned, is developed this technology that can measure changes in these fields from a ground-based system. This is something that has not been done extensively before. And so we're placing these sensor sites around the world. Today, as we speak on our program now, there is a site in Northern California. There's one in Northern Canada. There's one in Lithuania. There's one in Saudi Arabia. There's one in New Zealand. And there'll be another one going in soon in South Africa.
Wow.
Eventually, they want 12 of these sites, and they'll get the complete picture of the fields from these 12 sites. The purpose of having them is to do several things. One is to study more about the effects that these fields are having on us. The other is to provide more academic information, academic data and science to help scientists understand these fields better. And lastly, is to test a hypothesis that we have. And the hypothesis is that we collectively as human beings, through what we put out energetically, through our hearts and our minds, are also influencing these fields. So it would be a two-way communication in a sense. The fields are affecting us, but we also have a hypothesis. And again, I want to make a clear statement that it's not proven. It's a hypothesis that we are impacting these fields as well. So we're studying it from a scientific perspective. So that's the other part of the Global Coherence Initiative. It's bringing people together from all around the world, using their heart-focused care and their intention to help shift consciousness in a way that benefits us and humanity and the Earth, while simultaneously studying it through the science that we have and through the technology that we've developed. And that's an overview of the Global Coherence Initiative. If people want to know more about it and read more about it, see more of the science, see data coming back from the sensor sites, join in into the collective sort of experiment that we're doing, you can go to the Global Coherence Initiative website and become a member. Becoming a member is free. And the site is glcoherence.org. I'm sure you'll post that, but it's glcoherence.org. There's where you become a member, and that's where you get lots more information about what we're doing in that part of HeartMath's mission. So we do a lot of things at HeartMath, but this is one area that, you know, really excites me, something that I believe in so much. And I've always believed that, you know, that change starts at the level of consciousness and then filters down into our psychology, our behaviors, and our systems. And it's through that change of consciousness that we will usher in this new world that we know is already beginning to show itself and is coming on much quicker now.
So let's take it back a little bit and talk about, you mentioned the big layer about 150 feet up into the atmosphere.
And,
miles, I'm sorry, 150 miles. So tell me, does that keep our consciousness here, or does it even go beyond that?
I don't think it has much to do with consciousness. I think consciousness transcends all of that.
Okay.
You know, consciousness is limited, unlimited really, by time and space. The fields are really there, again, protecting us from what's coming into the Earth, from space. There's lots of space weather, they call it, out there. And those fields are protective layers around us that do that. But what's interesting, though, in relationship not to consciousness but to psychology is this, is that some of the frequencies that you find in these fields are exactly the same frequencies and frequency ranges that we find that we produce in the human heart and brain. So there's an energetic or frequency connection between what we produce as human beings from our brains and our hearts and the frequencies that exist in the ionosphere and the geomagnetic field. So as these fields change, that's part of how they influence us. As HeartMath Director of Research Roland McCready said to me one day, I asked him, well, how do you think that, you know, these fields are affecting us? What's the real connection there? And he said, it's through our nervous system. He said our nervous system makes us like big antennas.
Really?
And that we're picking up these changes in the frequencies produced in the fields like big antennas. We are tuned to these fields. So as they fluctuate, and believe me, they do. They change all the time. They're constantly in fluctuation and motion. Then it begins to change how we think and feel in some ways. When you add that up collectively, then you can see that there are big changes in how society is behaving as a correlated result to changes occurring in these fields.
Okay, that's wonderful. So tell us how this plays out in today's scenario. I mean, we're talking about the Israel-Gaza effect. We're talking about Iraq. We're talking about Syria. We're talking about the Ukraine, possibility of a World War III, and even the border situation on the U.S. It's so diverse, so many different places. Give us what's going on with us, and bottom line is, what can we do individually?
Well, I'll be glad to share about that, and I'm glad to be on your show right now at this time on this day, because it is a very timely, we're in a very timely place in global history right now. And, you know, it can be disconcerting. I know many of the listeners who pay attention to these things, look at the news and all that, see lots of aberrant behavior, horrible things happening at the individual level. Just put up the CNN site in the morning and take a look, and it's a horror show.
Yeah.
And then you have the larger things that you mentioned, all the global conflicts that are happening, and things like the immigration issues and all that, and so many more. So it's all happening so much now. And then we have our own lives and all the changes that are occurring for us, that are happening inside of us, and all the unusual things that we're having to deal with and the challenges that we are facing individually. It can be so overwhelming. And I think, as I talk to people around the world and try to get a sense of what they're going through and find out what their problems may be, what their challenges are, it can be summed up in that one word, overwhelm.
Mm-hmm.
People are feeling overwhelmed by the whole thing. So as I've said many, many times on your show in the past, we are in the midst of a dimensional shift in consciousness, and more change is happening in shorter amounts of time than ever before since there's been human beings on our planet. And it's a very positive thing ultimately, but on a day-to-day basis, it can be very, very challenging. And it can create a lot of angst and uncertainty. It can create frustration. It can create anger. It certainly is a breeding ground for harsh judgment. All those kind of things are happening when we go through so much change so quickly. So I want to put it out to the listeners right now that I do understand, and I do have compassion for what people are going through and what the world's going through right now. So at the same time, we have to be able to maintain certain balanced attitudes in the middle of all of that. First of all, for our own health, well-being, and fulfillment. And secondly, that's how we really serve the best. That's where our service mission takes on its most powerful form, is by maintaining a certain balance and equilibrium and neutrality in the midst of all the things that we see. And it's not easy to do, and I do understand that. So, you asked me before the show, when you contacted me and asked me to be on on your show now, you brought up the Middle East to me,
right?
And you have listeners, and hopefully there are listeners right now that are listening from the Middle East on your program who are looking at that entire situation. And it just seems like that whole region, not the whole region, but certainly major parts of that region, are in unbelievable turmoil.
And filled with fear, because not knowing how far it's going to go, into which area or what's happening. So everybody's living in fear there.
Yeah, that's right. And I can see why. But anything I say about the Middle East right now, let me preface those comments by saying that I'm in no way an expert at all on the Middle East and the geopolitics of it or the cultures of it. I'm like everyone else. I read news reports. I watch news reports on TV. I have put some attention to it, to study it and try to understand it, but I am certainly no expert on it. And I've only been to the Middle East once, and that was a few years ago, not long ago, maybe 3 years ago, and it was Kuwait, which is a different kind of a thing than what's going on, let's say, in Syria right now,
right,
or someplace. But I did get a great education, at least from my experience in that country, of a new understanding for myself about the Middle East and some things that were pointed out to me about it. So I gained something from that that helps me, I think, today. But by no means am I professing to understand this problem and its intricacies and all of that that's going on. But what's happening to me, Jules, is endemic of what's happening in this global shift in consciousness that we are experiencing. a lot of times for new things to come in, the old has to go. And sometimes things have to get turned upside down before they get right side up. And if you think about, let's do an analogy right now. Think about, and the listeners, think about your own life and the things that may be coming up for you. Things that you know you need to change, things that have to be cleared, you know, new realizations about yourself, areas that are coming up that you know you need to work on, you know, things that you feel like you needed to complete out on that maybe you started a long time ago but just haven't quite finished up. Those kind of things are coming up a lot for people right now. Well, on a much larger scale, you can make that analogy with the Middle East. There's just a lot going on there. There's a tremendous history of conflict. There are the sectarian issues. There are tribal issues. There are cultural issues. There's westernization versus, you know, traditional fundamentalism. It just goes on and on and on in the levels of the complexity. But what's happening is whatever needs to be changed is coming up to the surface now. And in the case of many of the countries in the Middle East, it's really, really hard. It's violent conflict. It's death. It's destruction. It's all those things that are happening. But what it's doing is it's really beginning to clean things up and clean things out. It's at a phase right now where it's at a horrific phase. It's in the middle of the storm right now. And so it's very, very difficult to see that ultimately it will probably produce a great result. Because right now there's so much human suffering involved. And so it's difficult to see anything positive coming from it.
But actually, what I'm seeing is there's a major truths coming out that we never realized before. I mean, there's a whole bunch of new things coming up that is surprising. So that in itself, I think, is very positive. We're seeing the truth, but maybe the first time.
That's right. And what makes it, you know, hard for people, or actually hard, but also it gives us the ability to serve better, is the fact that we are seeing so much of it, you know, happening so quickly. And we are actually, in a way, seeing it. We're not there, but you think about how connected we are today. We can get information so quickly. You know, I was watching a show over the weekend on World War II, and you talk about horrific. That was unbelievable. But I had this realization that back in World War II, the people in the United States that weren't over there, or in other parts of the world too, but they were seeing, you know, newsreels at the movie theater, you know, from something that happened 2 months ago, you know. Or maybe they were hearing something about it on a radio show, but they weren't getting immediate graphic coverage and footage,
or different kinds of information. You know, with the mainstream media, you never know who is putting out that information. So it's like with the internet, in that immediate way, we're getting different informations and stories which we can decide what is the truth. Right?
Exactly. True. But, and I think you bring up a good point. One of the things that I wanted to mention in our program today is that one of the ways that I find it's best to deal with this, and people can, you know, make their own choices about it, but I think being more neutral is important for me.
True.
Neutrality about it. I don't know who's doing what, who's right, and who's wrong. That's not the point for me. And I think if you live in the Middle East and you're listening right now, you could say, well, you do know that, and you do have opinions about those things. And I think that is fine. But, you know, I've learned in life, you know, to not make harsh judgments, especially when I don't know what I know, you know.
Right.
And to be more neutral about these things as opposed to judging. It's about belief systems. People have different belief systems. It doesn't mean I have to agree with other belief systems that don't resonate with me, but just have to see it more neutrally as that's their belief system, right?
Right.
As opposed to they're wrong and they're bad and they're evil and somebody else is good or we're good and all that. That's just too polarized for me. So I step back a little bit and I try to see it through a more top-down view, a more holistic view of things, and see it as people who have belief systems, and those belief systems are clashing. And they all think that they're right. They all think that what they're doing is going to be what's best. And so they're posturing and they're fighting and they're all positioning around that whole thing. And it's gotten very, very violent, and it's inflamed to a point that I don't think any of us expected. At the same time, if there's a big shift going on, then we kind of have to expect that these kind of things are going to come up and not be quite as shocked when they do. But then again, you know, I go through the same feelings and have to manage my emotions, you know, like anyone else. when I see these things or read these things, I have to step back and go, oh my God, and then I have to gather myself, find this neutral place inside, and find a place inside myself that's really not offering necessarily a definitive solution. What it's offering is a deeper level of compassion for those that are being directly affected, and putting my heart and care out to help make it as best I can a kinder and gentler process, where it goes through the stages that it has to go through to reach the new understandings or reach the new baseline of how things operate. And so I have to step back and really go there with that, Jules, and say, you know, that's my job number one, is let's put my heart into it and let's see if I can make it a kinder, gentler process for what has to go down anyhow.
So what you're saying, especially with the Global Coherence Initiative, is that it's not to change the situation, but it's to change the feelings of the situations, give it more compassion, give it more heart, give it more love, give it more.
That's true. And that sounds kind of squishy in the middle of a war. And, you know, I can understand why somebody would say, well, that sounds pretty damn idealistic, you know. And I get it. You know what I mean? But then what do you do? You know, what can you do? And you certainly can do that. And I do believe that it helps. I believe that it does make a tremendous difference in that. And if you put your love and care out, and especially offer to bolster the resilience and emotional support that the people who are in it need, that's one of the greatest gifts you can offer from the perspectives that we're in or positions that we're in. I mean, there are people too that maybe their mission is to go over there and join, you know, a Red Cross effort or something. That's what they do. But most of us don't do that or can't do that. We have to make contributions in different ways. And to me, we're making a serious contribution that can't be underappreciated enough. When we take time in our lives to find whatever place inside we can find that's, you know, close to our core authentic self, and then to generate that care and compassion and love from that place into the situations, into the energetic field environments that are associated in consciousness with those situations, to help come to resolution as best we can, as soon as we can, while maintaining a certain neutrality and a certain patience that allows for things to unfold in a natural progression that is really, in my opinion, a positive step, but a tough step.
You know, that sounds exactly what we should be doing with the law of attraction in our everyday life as well. Not really trying to control it, but just taking a neutral position. But I wanted to ask you about the GCI again. Is what are the signs that indicate that applying the consciousness has helped in other situations? Like, I know that you did, or you do it with the earthquakes. You did it in some. What are some of the areas that you did it?
Well, we've looked at various things. We're not making any published reports now, except on we've done some great studies on the effects of the fields on us. But we're observing data right now and taking in data from, you know, the sensor sites we have around the world. And we, you know, it's a very complex process. It isn't just having sensors and looking at a change in a sensor and making a determination. You have to look at a lot of factors. You have to filter out the natural occurring things that are being created normally in a day-to-day basis, or the solar influences and all of that, to begin to get deeper in understanding what data you may be seeing. There are some interesting things correlating with changes we saw in the sensor sites during, you know, the initial Arab Spring, for example. Uh-huh. But they're not conclusive in any way. You know, they are indicators of various things. And we are seeing changes there. As you know, in my live presentations, and you've seen me present live at your Law of Attraction event, and I'm happy to say that I'm going to be with you again.
Thank
at the
goodness.
Long
oh yeah
the Long Beach event. You know, we're going to rock down there at Long Beach, and I'm looking forward to that one in my speaking tour, you know, starting this fall, which is going to take me a lot of places in the world, you know, starting in September.
And I just got to say, Howard gets a standing ovation, and it's long. He is just incredible. He's mind-blowing. So if you get a chance to see Howard, you got to. You won't regret it. He is just magnificent.
Well, thank you for that. And you remember in my presentation, I did show that, you know, some of the information that came without it being a scientific experiment going on from things like the space weather satellites that the U.S. government has that showed that right at 9/11, at 9 a.m. on 9/11, there was this massive power spike in the geomagnetic field unexplained by anything else. And it happened exactly the same time that, you know, the 9/11 was going down, planes were hitting towers, et cetera. It doesn't prove anything, but it's like, what, you look at that and you go, my God, you know, there's a direct time correlation to a major change occurring in the geomagnetic field that can't be explained through solar influences and other things. What are we looking at here?
Yeah.
And it's phenomenal to look at it. And again, I'm always very, you know, respectful of our scientists and not to hang them out somewhere where I'm saying things as a heart math representative that makes them look bad. So I don't make it – I don't say that it proves anything. I make that clear to my audiences. But it's just interesting to see. So we see things like that, and we're studying data all the time. As we're on our call right now, all those sensor sites are sending data back to our research labs, and that data is being accumulated, looked at, analyzed. And over time, we should be able to make some determining statements about that. But we have to be patient there as well, because this is pretty serious science. We have a lot of people involved with the Global Coherence Initiative on our advisory boards, et cetera. And one of those is Jack Canfield, mm-hmm. a friend of mine and a friend of HeartMath, who will, I think, also be at your Law of Attraction
oh,
event.
Oh, yes.
And Jack is an advisory board member of Global Coherence Initiative. And he said one day to me and a couple of others as we were talking, he said, Howard, he said, I think this is perhaps the most important experiment in the history of the world. Mm-hmm. And I said, why do you think that? He said, because if it proved to be true that we, our thoughts and our emotions are influencing these fields, it would show that all of our prayers, our meditations, our affirmations, and our intentions, the things that we believed in, now have scientific proof that they actually do something. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That you know, there's a measurable result from that, and that's huge. So we can't make this pseudoscience, because if that proved to be true, let's say the hypothesis proves to be true, well, look at the power of a belief increase mm-hmm. that there will be. So it's not trivial science. It's real science, and it has to. And a hypothesis, if you really do it right, has to be looked at as unproven. You're looking to see if it is true or if it is not true. Mm-hmm. And so that's the way we approach Global Coherence Initiative. But there's a lot of interesting data and interesting research that shows up. And you can see that stuff on the Global Coherence Initiative website. You can read, you know, where they put updates on there. They put various things that they're learning about the fields, and all that stuff is on the site so that people can go through a continuing education process as we experiment.
You know what I think? Even if for some reason it comes out that it's not true, the simple fact that the person who is participating in the heart coherence feels so much better. So what does that say? That's saying that it's empowering that person to feel that they did something positive. And that's huge.
When you language very much what HeartMath founder Doc Childry has said, he says the science is important. What's most important is that people are getting on to themselves and they're making contact with their own heart power, and that, you know, they're doing that. That's the most important part of the Global Coherence Initiative from his viewpoint and perspective. That bringing people together is also important, and science is also important, but that people doing it themselves, going inside, finding that place inside themselves, empowering themselves, and then putting that out to the world, that's the most important part of Global Coherence Initiative.
So for the people in Pakistan or for the people in Gaza or wherever right now, what they could do is tune in to that heart coherence and the calmness, the incredible experience from just that would be something that's going to help them get through it.
That's true, but I don't know what, you know, the expectations you have for today or what you like to do with your listeners would be, but I would like to suggest that I take people through a sort of a heart-focused meditative process designed especially for this kind of thing.
Oh, I love it. I love it, Howard. This would be great.
Since, Let me preface it a little bit. On the Global Coherence Initiative website, there's what's called the Care Focus Room, and it's a place on the site you can go to. And every month we post a special care focus, and we sit back and we begin to take a look at the world and where sending heart-focused care and intention, you know, might be most beneficial. And we post that, and there's an audio recording of it, and there's a globe on that part of the site. Of the, you know, a picture of the Earth, and when you log on, it marks your internet provider address. It doesn't mean your house; it means where your internet provider is. And so, a little gold marker goes on that globe, and you can see people all around the world who are there when you were there.
Yeah,
putting out their heart to the world. So, this past month's care focus was about, in some ways, the Middle East. And you can go to the site and do it later. We'll do it briefly now because it's a radio show format. We don't want it to be, you know, tons of dead space and downtime. But what I'd like to suggest is that I lead everybody through that right now. We'll take about 5 minutes. Do this technique. If it feels good to you and feels right to you, then go to the Global Coherence Initiative website, go to the Care Focus Room, and you can do it for yourself there, and you can read it, download it, or listen to an audio recording of someone leading you through it.
Good. Wonderful.
Okay.
Fabulous.
Okay. Here we go. Care focus. Becoming a compassion operative. Step one. Center in your heart and breathe in the feeling of love and appreciation to increase your heart energy and coherence. Appreciate the opportunity to serve humanity during this time of the planetary shift. Now connect in the heart with people throughout the planet who are generating love, care, and compassion and forgiveness to help humanity dissipate separation and come together in peace and heartfelt cooperation to create a thriving global environment. So just connect in the heart with the people around the world, putting out their care, compassion, and forgiveness to help humanity. Now visualize the coherent energy being distributed throughout the global energetic field where all life is connected in a heart vibration. Just visualize your coherent energy going out into that field. Now radiate the collective love and compassion to global hotspots in the Middle East, Sub-Saharan Africa, and elsewhere. See our collective love magnetizing facilitation from the universal source for the highest, best outcomes at this time. Close by sending our deepest care and compassion to all those suffering and displaced by wars and conflict. Know that no love is ever wasted, as it helps in ways that aren't always obvious. Humanity is on the threshold of understanding the power and transformational value of coherent love and compassion. Okay, thanks.
Wow.
So if you're one of the many thousands of people who listen to this show and you're listening live now, or even if you're listening to it later on, recorded, even down the road a ways, even months away, know that you are making a valuable contribution by joining together, because we're all connected energetically. And that connection, in my opinion, goes beyond the boundaries of time and space and all of that. It's a connection that we have that's it's much larger than that. But when we come together like that and we put our heart-focused care out, we put our compassion and our love out to people suffering in those displaced wars and conflicts and things like that, we radiate that compassion into hot spots like the Middle East and Sub-Saharan Africa or whatever else is out there that needs help. It is a form of great service. It's a way in which we all contribute to helping people and to helping usher in a new world. So thank you for doing that today. And if you're listening later on down the road, thank you for doing it now, because it all counts. And it's like it says in the Care Focus, no love is ever wasted.
And that's a beautiful, beautiful saying. And your focus has been to serve. So we are shifting away from just I into the serving of all. That's really our connection to everyone, right?
I think we're all waking up to realizations that we're all connected. You know, science is showing more of that and all that, but even without science, I think inside ourselves, intuitively, many, many people are realizing the connectivity between all living systems. And I talk about that more in my live presentations, but we're getting on to that now, and it's part of the new consciousness and new awareness that's coming in as part of the shift, is the acknowledgement and recognition of that. One of the things that I find about the Middle East situation that is disconcerting to me at times is that it looks like it's going through a period of dynamic separation, you know, around things like sectarian beliefs. Mm-hmm. So people are trying to pull apart. They're trying to, like, you know, be going to something, you know, in the smaller segments, and, you know, they want their own country in the middle of a country that already exists, and all these other things. And it looks like it's separating more. One of the reasons that I believe that will eventually not work, that it'll eventually play out a different way, is that to me, the much larger energetic consciousness, you know, wave that's happening is about bringing things together, not separating them.
Interesting.
It's about unification and harmony, not about breaking things apart and separating. So in the short term, yeah, that stuff's got to come up. It's got to come out. It's got to go through its play out. But ultimately, that other wave of where consciousness itself is moving to on a much larger scale is so much bigger and so much stronger that in time, and we have to be patient, as I said earlier, and let this thing, you know, go through its play out. But in time, I don't think that separation can meet that wave that's going in the opposite direction.
So it's really interesting if they're all separating and becoming a smaller groups. Eventually, we will all have to come together and be away from the sectarian philosophy.
Eventually, that'll happen. Yeah, I don't know. Down the road somewhere, that may be true. I don't have any crystal ball that predicts time here. But I'm saying it's moving that direction. We are all one people.
Yeah, we're all connected. We are each other. So that's what's so amazing, that there's so much killing and destruction going on, because we're killing ourselves.
Yeah, but it's starting to manifest. We, you know, that's that kind of statement's been said philosophically for thousands of years, but we're getting more on to it now, recognizing that is really true, that we are really connected. We are one people. And again, this, we're seeing the problems now in the areas that we mentioned, and I don't want to leave out other places either. I'm not going to try to name them all, but they're happening all around the world, really.
Yes.
Where you see this these kind of things happening. But yet again, there are hundreds of millions of people alive right now, living and breathing today, that are seeing it differently.
Yeah,
they're just not getting that on the news right now. But you know that, Jules, because of your connection to, you know, people around the world. I certainly experience it because of my position and role here at HeartMath, and, you know, and also having the physicality of global travel. I see that happening. Hundreds of millions of people, I believe, all around the world who are shifting their consciousness, who are seeing the world very differently. And you have small segments of the population, you know, by comparison, that are going through their tantrums, you know, so to speak. And they're terrible, and I get that. And I do have the compassion for the people being directly affected. But it's smaller segments, really. There's a much larger group of people that are going, what the hell is this?
Yeah, right. You know, I had a person from Pakistan, a wonderful, wonderful guy, said to me, "Well, you're probably one of the most positive people I know in regards to what's going on in the world." And it's like, but here's the thing that can get you to be positive too, is getting into your heart's coherence. Because then, just like Howard's been talking about, there you get to connect with the source energy that is this incredible love that actually will connect you to everyone else.
That's right. So it starts with us. My suggestion is for everybody to do the best they can in their private lives or personal lives to maintain a certain balance in their emotions. That's the most important service that we do. When we look across the global landscape and we see things that are very disconcerting, try to pull back a little bit, not go to a place of no care for sure, but go to a place of balance care inside yourself. Try to take, you know, that compassion and make sure that it doesn't turn into sympathy. You know,
keep it on
a higher vibratory rate, and then put that out to the world, and you'll benefit yourself from doing that. You know, one of the biggest winners in that is us.
Exactly.
Those that do it, life gets better. And it also serves. And so that's what we can really do. Manage your emotions. Try to maintain a state of neutrality. Try to maintain a higher vibratory look at the various things that we see that are so disconcerting. You know, I'll share a little personal discipline that I have with people if you'd like.
Sure.
And it's this, you know, relative to the news, you know, in the past, I've done things like gone on what I call a news fast, which means that I'll take 2 weeks where I won't look at it. Now, I'm not doing it from a position, it's tricky, but I'm not doing it from a position of like, I don't want to see this crap. You know, it's not that. It's just saying, I want to take a little break from it right now so that I don't have to process so much of that, so I can really get solid, more solid within myself so that I can serve that better.
Right.
But right now, with so much going on, I've chosen not to do a news fast. Because I feel like there's so many things going on that I need to be at least aware of.
Uh-huh.
But here's what I do. I do not immerse myself in the stories. I don't read all those stories. An example would be this. I can pull up right now the CNN website, and there's going to be little listings and headlines. There's going to be the major headline, then there's going to be the U.S. news, there's going to be the world news, there's going to be entertainment news, sports news, all that. I'll look at those headlines, but I do not click on them and go in and start reading and reading and reading the whole story. In other words, I'm trying to look at it and see what's going on without buying into the drama. Because it's easy to get into the drama of it. Can you believe they did that? Can you believe they said that? Can you believe this? Can you believe that? And I just don't want to be in that drama. And the reason I don't is because it's toxic to me. And secondly, it compromises my ability to serve.
Yeah, so it lowers your vibration. But, you know, what you're saying is absolutely true. I have find that I've been doing the same thing, just looking at the headlines, because I just don't want to go in that deep, but keeping informed.
Yeah, I'm looking at, okay, I'll read it right now. Ukraine, mines laid near the MH17 site. Mm. Train heads for women on bridge. Rockets fire unrelenting in Israel and Gaza. Ebola kills American. One stop from home. Wife to daughter. Dad is in heaven. Meat scandal bites McDonald's. Stray dog put an end to burglars. Obama to GOP. Stop hating all the time. Now college kids get a gift registered too. Red Lobster bets on fancy plates. Barrymore's half-sister is dead. See cop take down armed suspect. You know, and I could go on. You know what I mean?
It's pretty ridiculous, isn't it?
And that's the CNN site today. We're on the show. Now, if I stop and go, well, wait a minute, I want to know what the hell, what's going on here? What about meat scandal bikes McDonald's? And I'm going to get in there. Next thing you know, I'm going to be into the drama, and I'm going to be judging McDonald's and all that kind of stuff. And I'm wasting my time when I could be putting out heart and care for people that are going through stuff out there in the world, whether it be right here in my own backyard or whether it's over in the Middle East.
Oh, yeah.
So that's the game that I play. I look at it, and you know, sometimes I do, actually, and I don't mean this disingenuously at all, but sometimes I do what you do. I laugh. I go, can you believe this?
It really, it could be a comical song. You know, truthfully, what it's all about is that it's empowering us to know that we can do something today. And that something is just to send that love and compassion to those areas, whether you believe in heart coherence or not. But it's so empowering to know that you can do something.
That's right. It's got nothing to do with belief system. It's got everything to do with, you know, a person inside themselves finding their own truth, their own core power.
Right.
And using that to distribute it through compassion and care and love to help others. And it doesn't make any difference if it's a person who has a strong Christian belief system, or somebody that's into some, you know, real wide, you know, new thought spirituality, or if it's a Muslim or if it's a Jewish person. That doesn't matter. It's about going inside and finding what's truthful to you in that core heart that each and every human being has, and then using that in ways that benefit humanity as a whole.
And your message to us is that if you're going to do that, do it without judgment. Be neutral, knowing that the universe is going to do what's best for the area.
As best you can. And we're all going to have opinions. There's no such thing as no judgment in a certain way. I mean, it gets talked about conceptually, but there's always going to be opinions and things in there. But just keep it at a minimized level, so that you maintain a certain balanced view of things and maintain a certain neutrality. And that's more potent and powerful in the end as far as what your service contribution will be. But at the same time, it's not saying don't have any opinions about anything or don't have any beliefs. It's okay. It's about a balance. And people know where that balance is in their system if they pay attention. Because they'll know how it feels.
So, well, Howard, thank you so much. This has been so enlightening. And it really tells us on what we need to be focused on today and what's going on in the world. Very, very significant program today. Thank you so much.
Hey, it's my pleasure, and I hope that people who are listening have gotten something out of it that benefits themselves, as well as cues us up on another level with the power and potency that we have to co-create this new world and to help people through the problems we face today. And that's the goal that I had today for being on your show. Hopefully that we've accomplished some of that.
I'm sure. It was just wonderful. Thank you again, Howard.
Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back next week with another great show from Law of Attraction Talk Radio. If you'd like to comment on tonight's show, send an email to Jules@LOARadionetwork.com, and have a great week.